Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, is this our last non-live podcast for the next couple of weeks?
Well, I don't think so, because I thought we were going to be together, but apparently you're like, we're not going to be near each other as close as we thought, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm traveling 9,000 miles to get closer to you, but if I don't come to your actual house, you're not going to
you're going to be in Haifa, and my brother-in-law lives there, and we see him twice a year, so I don't know why you think I'm going to like come hang out with you.
Well, I'm going to be in Tel Aviv, I'm going to be in Jerusalem, I'm going to be all around town. All
right, well, if you're within 10 miles of me, give me a ring, we'll go for lunch. We'll do a meal one day for lunch with... I can't do dinner because I work at night, but anyone who, like our Israeli listeners, so like the Josh Cantors or any of those people.
Oh, my co-owner in the League of Leagues.
Ari Gold, any of those people want to come out with us. Yeah, let's talk about League of Leagues for a second before we get into the greatest American athlete bracket. I just got a tweet. How come Wayne Gretzky didn't make it? It's a good question.
Does this person not listen to the podcast at
all? Well, maybe... Maybe, you know.
We discussed it in each of the last two episodes.
Maybe, yeah, a lot of people just see the link on Twitter. I don't know if everyone
knows. Yeah. So League of Leagues. So for those who don't remember, we have started a year-round fantasy football league where comprising baseball, football, and basketball. Baseball, football, and basketball. So we the opening draft is ongoing right now. There are 580 picks, right? 58 rounds.
Would you say it's taken over your life this week?
We're currently in round 46 of the draft.
Which is, like, amazing. I if you had said on Saturday, hey, you'll be up to 46 Tuesday morning, I'd say that's wonderful. But it's such a grind, and, like, at this point, there's no good players left.
Yeah, I mean, let's just read the 46th round pick so far. It's in order. It's Nikola Mirotic, Pierre Garçon, Eric
Mirotic's
Ebron.
Good pick. He's playing really well for the Bulls.
Willie Snead, who I thought's a pretty good pick,
yeah,
by
Snead,
me.
Honestly, I was going to pick him.
Yeah, with Brandon Cooks gone, you'd think he'd get a lot more targets there in New Orleans.
I think he might have a big year.
Vince Velasquez, Martavis Bryant,
who could be a terrible pick, but there's also a good chance you get nothing out of that. But who cares?
Yeah, high upside. Rashawn Holmes by Akiv.
Yeah,
and tiny Darren Sproles was just taken.
Yeah, Sproles was on my list. I was probably going to take him. How about people? So yeah, the pool. It's 2 years of baseball, football, basketball, fantasy leagues. If you were listening, you can guess for a second before I say who went in the first round. But the first round was David Johnson, went one overall, which to
bad
me...
Bad pick.
Yeah, I think if you had like a LT in like, you know, whatever year LT was best,
yeah,
I think that's reasonable to pick. But I just don't think there's a big enough difference between David Johnson and Zeke and Le'Veon Bell.
And you also need to point out this is a two quarterback league.
It's a two QB league, so quarterbacks. But I don't think you go quarterback number one.
But in terms of in football,
right.
The top even, two or three quarterbacks are as if not more valuable than anybody else.
Right, like so who picked that? That was Jake Larson. He has Kirk Cousins and Stafford. Like one of those guys will probably outscore David Johnson. So then number one was David Johnson. Number two is James Harden. To me, I think the basketball guys are so much better. The basketball stars are so much better than, like, you know, the fourth or fifth best player on your fantasy team that you almost had to, like, grab two of them in the first two rounds.
Isn't he buying, like, as high as you possibly can on Harden?
Yeah,
this is Harden's career year.
But if Harden is half as good next year as he is this year, he's still really good. He's still, like, one of the 20.
He's a top five player, but is he the number one NBA player?
Maybe
and also,
not,
this league was on for the next 2 years, so...
Right. But if it was 10 years, you know, it's a better question. But I think Harden still... You have to pick somebody. And then Russell Westbrook went three. We made a trade 10 seconds before the draft where we traded all of my fourth slot picks for all of your fourth slot picks for all of my seventh.
Let's add, I also got $10 in the 2018 NFL NBA expansion draft in the auction from you, and I got $1 for the 2018 NFL season fab waivers.
Yeah, I mean, you just preferred the seventh pick to the fourth pick, but I said it's insane. Like, I didn't even let you do four for seven. I made myself throw a couple things in.
Well, honestly, the reason I wanted seven instead of four is because I wanted the decision made for me because I knew I was going to take one of the top four basketball guys.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure which.
Four basketball guys.
Say it again.
Well, other than Harden and Westbrook, who do you view as the other two top guys?
Giannis and Kat.
Okay, fine. So I ended up taking Karl-Anthony Towns over Giannis, who's the star of my... I know no one's interested in... Like, now we're talking about the best of the league, but maybe this is mildly interesting, but no one cares about my current fantasy basketball draft, which is also insane that we're drafting for next year's fantasy football and basketball while my basketball league...
Yeah, just so people realize, the draft we're doing right now in March of 2017,
yeah,
the basketball players, their first time they will become relevant is in a season following the season which is currently being played.
Yes, November 1st. Yeah, they're not... They're still... I'm in the playoffs in one league, and I'm drafting for next year already in the other.
But we draft everybody together, and then you can do interleague trades, obviously.
Interleague trades, yeah. In the league, this is based off of, like, the Jonah Carey, Cousin Sal, Dave Dameshek league. I think the first trade was, like, Noah Syndergaard for, like, some NBA player. Like, you know, you're going to have... Or Antonio Brown or something. You know, you're going to have a lot of interplayer trades, hopefully. So then I pick Karl-Anthony Towns. The next pick is Mike Trout, which I think is a good pick. Then Anthony Davis goes 6. You pick Giannis 7th, which is a pretty good value.
I also like the fact that he can play any position.
Yeah, right now Giannis is eligible at every position but center. You know, he could get so good that, like, Giannis... It wouldn't surprise me if Giannis averaged, like, 35 and 15 and 6 assists and 2 blocks and 2 steals next year. Like, it wouldn't surprise anybody. Mookie Betts went 8th. Le'Veon Bell, that's a pretty decent value, goes 9. And then John Wall... goes 10. That guy picked John Wall and Isaiah Thomas. He's buying very high on Isaiah Thomas. But
Isaiah Thomas, that was...
Here, the thing about Isaiah Thomas is he is such a good free throw shooter, and he gets to the line so much that his free throw value is Steph Curry's three-point value, if you look at it.
Yeah, but there's no chance that he's ever repeating the season ever.
Yeah,
first of all,
right.
There's at least a 50% chance he's traded in the offseason.
Right, if they get a point guard, I think they probably look to trade him. But he could, you know, he could... go to, I don't know, Houston and even be even better. Who knows?
I think the best case scenario for Isaiah Thomas is sort of like what Steph Curry went from. You know, last year Steph Curry was insane and scored 30 points a game, and this year he's back to sort of his career plateau, which is still, you know, 24-7, but it's not 31-8 or whatever. You know, Isaiah Thomas is not going to average 30 points a game or even 26 points a game ever again. So that was quite a reach in my
opinion.
You're
probably right. And then so Zeke goes...
Although Lease went basketball. I mean, his 5 of his first 6 picks were basketball. So he'll have a great basketball team regardless.
That's right. Yeah, he had Wall, Thomas, DeMarcus Cousins, DeAndre Jordan, which was a little early for DeAndre Jordan, and then Draymond. He's got solid teams. Did anybody punt anything?
Well, the guy who picked right before him did not take a basketball player until the 13th round when he took Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah, and also, like, the way we score it, like, normally you score, like, 10, 9, 8, 7,
6, 5, 4,
3,
2, 1. His basketball team is based on Otto Porter Jr.
But since Chester's a lunatic, Chester insisted that we do sort of, like, coefficient scoring, or I don't know if you'd have a better math word for
it. It's relative scoring. It's
relative
based on a curve.
So, yeah, so if you win every category, let's say in baseball, where everything's 10 through 1 and there's 10 categories, you would get 100. But then the second place score team, if they had like 62, they wouldn't get a 9. The 100 would get a 10, but the second place team with 62 wouldn't get a 9. They'd get a 6.2.
Yeah, I think the place this really makes an impact though is at the bottom, because nobody's going to get a 1 or 2 or 3.
Except this basketball team might get a 1 or 2 or 3.
Yeah. So Rosenberg's basketball team. Yeah, he might be so bad in basketball that it prevents him from competing for the overall championship will go to the person who has the best performance across all 6 leagues, meaning baseball, football, basketball, both in 2017 and 2018.
Yeah, and there is a little bit of money for winning each league, but you'd have to win a league twice or two of the 6 leagues just to get your money back. So. You know, and obviously, yeah, you're right. If you come in,
and that's not what you're playing for. You're playing for the ultimate trophy.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Anyone who's just playing to win a sport, I think that's.
We do the
playoffs in the sports that you know. I mean, unless you just dominate baseball, like you have to win and then get lucky to win the money because the money comes from playoffs. Even though we're insane and we separated the playoffs from the standings, so the points go to the regular season winner. But the money goes to the playoffs, which I'm sure nobody in the league even knows because it's very confusing.
I have a friend who – so we do NFL wins pool, which is, you know, the thing Bill Simmons introduced a few years ago where, you know, every 10 people draft the 30 teams in the league and just add up how many wins you get over the course of the season. And the way I like to do a lot of my pools is I give last place their money back out of sympathy. And so, you know, this is a league with 10 people. It's like $20 each. So the winner gets $200, not, you know, not the biggest windfall in the world. And then the loser gets his $20 back, and I actually changed it after this guy this one year. He made such a terrible draft, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, once I realized in the draft I got like the 8th pick, I thought it was really bad, so I decided to just go for last place. And I'm like, so your goal is to lock up back your money five months later?
At a certain point, it's like, is it a sunk cost? I could do it. Did he
That's
get
idiotic.
His money back,
like, why are you doing this?
Did he get his money back?
No! Because they took some team in like the 26th pick that ended up going 11-5 or something. That's accidentally.
So, is there any other team? Is there any other team you see that's like really good or really bad in a particular sport? While you think, I'll read Morrow's basketball team. Is Seth Curry, Lou Williams, Otto Porter Jr., who by the way is going to be very good, Melo, and again you're getting Melo like in 2 years you're getting Melo when he's like 35 and probably out of the league. Miles Turner, Jahlil Okafor, Chris Dunn. A lot of these guys don't start on their teams. Robert Covington, who's underrated. Gallinari and Malcolm Brogdon on the Bucks, who actually is probably going to be pretty good soon.
By comparison, just like compare that to like your basketball team so people understand how bad that is.
Okay, so my team is Steph Curry. That's better than Steph Curry. Gary Harris, Paul George, Rudy Gay, Karl Anthony Towns, Nikola Vucevic, probably like the most underrated player in the NBA. Kyle Lowry, Harrison Barnes, Jeff Teague, Dennis Schroeder, Joel Embiid on the bench. He averages like 24-15 when he's healthy. Reggie Jackson and Rishon Holmes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Morrow might be in trouble in basketball.
But might we'll be in trouble. Yeah, that's a lot of 8-0s.
There's a lot of conversation about a league that 10 people are in.
Yeah, but listen, maybe it's interesting to somebody. Morty.
Yeah, I mean, you tweeted out the link to our draft. We were drafting on a Google Doc, and we got quite a few viewers, actually, beyond just... We had more than 10 viewers, so...
What's it called? Morty, who's in the league... He's in my basketball league this year, and he had never played basketball before, so it was a big learning curve for him. So he didn't do well. His team, you know, in the auction, and so every week at the beginning of the year, he ended up picking it up as it went by. But like every week, people were beating him 8-0. That's, you know, we play out of 8 categories: points, steals, rebounds, assists, blocks, field goal percentage, free throw percentage, and threes. So like that's what's going to tomorrow. He's going to lose 8-0 almost every week. And then if you don't beat, if you're the team that doesn't beat him 8-0, it's like a big disadvantage for you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got to make the playoffs. And also, it's like, I think my team is good, but it's really out of like 9.1 teams in basketball, which makes it worse. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's one person.
Football, we both had the same strategy, which was not really. We basically ignored running backs the entire draft. I picked one, you picked zero for like the first.
And there's a very simple reason for this, because we're drafting right now before the NFL draft, before free agency is over. We don't know half the teams who their starting running backs are going to be.
It's true.
So unless
like,
you're getting one of the top 8 or 10 guys,
there's
really no reason to waste a pick on a running back. I thought because you have no idea who's going to be starting in week 1. You don't know who's going to be on a team. You have no idea who's going to draft Leonard Fournette or So,
yeah, my football team is one of the weakest for sure, and it's definitely my weak link. But I mean, I have Luck and Winston as my two QBs, so that's not bad.
I have Aaron Rodgers and Cam Newton. So.
Right, and Ajayi is the only running back on my roster at this point. The problem at this point is there's 12 rounds left, but like I don't even have 12 guys I wanted. I mean, I have a lot of guys in the NBA I would draft, but you only have a few spots. But there aren't like that many draftable guys left, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So as you said, I took no running back, and then I piled up. I took 4 running backs in the last 4 or 5 picks. But they're all guys who, you know, I just want one or two of them to hit. So it's guys like Bilal Powell and Ty Montgomery and Paul Perkins
and
Amir Abdullah.
Well, Powell, I think, unless the Jets draft a running back in the first or second round, Powell's going to start opening day. So that might be a real steal.
I mean, Matt Forte's still on their team for some reason.
I mean,
Powell's not exactly young. He's turning 29 this year.
He's not young, but he has no mileage on him, and he really turned it on at the end of last year. Look at his last 4 games. He was basically 100.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they said about Justin Forsett after he had that breakout year in Baltimore.
Yeah, but listen,
29.
I am confident. Listen, Forte's still Forte. I think they're going to flip it this year, and Forte's going to be more of a third-round back because Forte's a better receiver, obviously, than Bilal Powell. But
Powell actually played more third downs last year, had more catches. And frankly, for a Jets team that's going to be losing every game big, I'd rather have the guy playing, you know, in their hurry-up offense in their third downs, because they're going to have a lot more of that than they have, you know, traditional running the ball in first and second down.
That's true. But I mean, and also like
Jets are going to be losing a lot of games 20-3 early
on. Also, like if you're a 1-15 team, you really need 2 30-year-old running backs. That's who you should be pounding the ball to.
Really makes
guys
no sense,
who like won't be.
Wienerker, you haven't drafted a catcher yet. When are you going to add one of those?
I think 58th. By the way, I might. I don't have to draft a catcher, so I might not.
Add one in the week, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could also like DL. This is very technical, but you could DL somebody else and then catch. So I.
Let me ask you a question. no one else will hear this before. You know, your pick is before mine, your next pick. So who's your next pick going to be?
Oh.
Give me a sneak preview.
Five people away.
My next pick, I think maybe Corey Dickerson on the Rays. I think he might lead off for them.
Steals?
He's like 27 homers and like 235, one of those guys. There's a million of them. But it's nice to have a guy on your bench. Like, if you give him 500 bats, it kills your batting average. But if he's your, like, sixth or seventh outfielder, then you're doing okay. I mean, there's just no good football players left. There's nobody good left. There aren't 12.
By the way, you were talking about people punting their teams. There's one guy who only has one quarterback on his roster, and it's Tony Romo, who might not play ever again at the end.
Right. Well, he might be on CBS. We're a football podcast, like, you know, the Broncos basically said yesterday they want Romo. Now, they could still be, like, lying and playing this up.
Yeah, I don't know. So ESPN had a report, I think it was Shefty or one of the guys, said that he's either going to be on Houston or he's going to be on CBS. I still think Denver's involved.
I don't know why they wouldn't be. Like, it's
Denver makes the most sense.
Yeah, let Simeon and Lynch sit
Houston,
for a year.
I mean, look, Houston made that trade, the Osweiler trade. There was only one reason to do that, which is to create the space for Romo.
Yeah, I think they're just dancing. I think Dallas wants a pick. Dallas has no football incentive to cut Romo.
Yeah.
The fact that they're like best friends or were before this whole thing, like, it's hard, you know, it's a tricky situation. But I agree. But here's the thing. Romo on the Texans doesn't mean, like, we talk, you know, you talk about football.
Oh, for fantasy, he won't be great. I agree.
Even if he plays well, even if he's a good quarterback.
And stays healthy.
Yeah. Playing 16 games is so crucial for in a 2QB league for your QBs. Or, you know, like, that's why, like, I have Flacco. Like, Flacco stinks, but at least you know he'll be there, right?
Yeah. But in that guy's defense, there's still starting quarterbacks available. You know, Jared Goff and Josh McCown.
Oh, and Brian Hoyer. By the way, if your team, we're up to pick, like, 400 and, you know, 60-something. If your team has not had their QB selected yet, and your team only had their QB selected very recently, it's probably not going to be a good year. Like, if you're the Niners and Brian Hoyer's still out there, in a 2QB league and pick 460, and you're the Jets with Hackenberg and with McCown, and you're the Rams with Jared. I mean, the Rams pick Jared Goff first overall, and Jared Goff is, like, unplayable. It's really going to become a big thing this year. Like, Jamarcus Russell was a bust, but I don't know how quickly we knew for sure he was a bust. Like, he came in, and, like, his first couple games, he was bombing the ball, like, 75 yards without sweating, you know? He had some, like, demonstrable football ability, even though he stunk. Jared Goff, you know, is basically DOA, it seems like.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I think we got to give him one more year before we make
that. Listen, obviously. Like,
he wasn't Ryan Leaf. Like, no, his rookie season wasn't good, but it wasn't historically
terrible. He was probably worse than Ryan Leaf.
I mean, was he worse than Troy Aikman, his rookie year in Dallas, when they went 1-15?
He was really bad. Look at his numbers. Yeah. Like, they're pretty frightening. Goff, their line is better. So, yeah, obviously you play Goff all 16 games this year. But, Are you excited for the Raiders to be in Vegas? Do you think that's, like, a fun, like, what if the Vikings play at the Raiders, which obviously only happens once every 8 years, so I don't know when it's happening next, but that would be, like, a fun road trip, no? Like, the Jets play at the Raiders and you go to Vegas for a game?
Well, this is the issue, and you've never been to Vegas, so you don't know this, but everything in Vegas is, I'll give you an example. The first time I was in Vegas, we were staying at the MGM. And there was an NHL preseason game being played there at the MGM Arena, which is where they have, like, big boxing matches and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the ordinary ticket prices are for an NHL preseason game, but for this game in Las Vegas, I remember, and this is in 2004, 2005, whatever it was, I remember because we were at the box office buying tickets for something else, the cheapest tickets available, like, the starting price was $75 a ticket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything in Vegas shows is way too expensive because the sort of the idea is people go to Vegas specifically to see shows. So you go to Vegas, you're like, oh, yeah, let's see an NHL spring preseason game. Even though you would never see that in your home city, and if you wanted to, you could see it for $10.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is I'd rather go to Oakland where there's, like, where one of, like, the fun things to do is to watch the game, plus you do other stuff, and you can get the seats for whatever normal football price is. Whereas you go to Vegas, there's 1,000 other things to do. So do you really want to go to the game?
So you're you're going to go to Vegas but not go to the Vikings game. Got it.
You're going
to
spend $400 a ticket. So, yeah. I don't think this is going to attract, too many more. Look, already there's tourists going to Vegas. I don't know how many more tourists are going to go just because of this team.
No, I don't think we'll any will. Other than people literally going to the game.
Yeah, well, we'll see. All right, should we jump into the Sweet 16 of the greatest American athlete of all time bracket?
Yeah, do you have a what's the worst pick in the draft, and what's the best pick so far?
Well, I think I already trashed on Isaiah Thomas. I just thought taking Isaiah Thomas.
That's not the worst pick, because Isaiah Thomas, I think you're underrating. Free throws are a percentage, right? But if you take 12 free throws a game, like, you're just contributing so much to the percentage that he's, like, so dominant in that.
Yeah, but he's not. I don't think he's going to take that many free throws ever again.
Okay, fine. I think the worst pick is Adrian Peterson. He went way too early.
Yeah, so I'm seeing Adrian Peterson went in the 17th round.
Yeah, he should have
gone
like the 35th or 40th round at best.
The same guy also took LeGarrette Blount in the 27th round. To me, LeGarrette Blount's worse because Peterson, in theory, can join a contending team and be their like main
back. Right, he might be a starter. I mean, he probably won't even. The problem is he has to find the team, become the starter, and then be good. Because, like, Peterson last year was so bad, it didn't matter that he was getting reps.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. Adrian Peterson went in the 17th round. Tony Romo, who I think is a somewhat similar situation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Went in, in the 38th round.
Yeah, I think that's probably more appropriate for him.
Yeah, but Blount, the problem with Blount is that he had seven. Look, I had Blount last year in fantasy. He had 17 touchdowns. He was great. But his only value was the fact that he was getting so many touchdowns because he was on the Patriots' tremendous offense and he was getting them out the 1 yard line all the time. He never makes receptions, and this is a half point per reception league. All he's doing is scoring touchdowns, and right now he's not even on a team. So he has to join a team. He has to become their main goal line back. You know, like, there's just a lot of what-ifs there for him to be,
right,
for him to even be ownable on your bench, let alone to be taken in the 27th round.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if, like, a real steal off the top of my head. I can only see. Morty got Aroldis Chapman in the 19th round. No closers went. Like, we all knew there would
that
be
that was
closer
the first
run.
Closer.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the first closer, but it was really late for it. So I think that's actually a really good value. Yeah, and then any Met is a terrible value, obviously.
Oh, we wanted to take Syndergaard for a while. We kept eyeing him.
Yeah, Syndergaard's the only Met I would trust. The Mets actually have 8 guys being drafted in fantasy baseball without a catcher. So they have 8 guys for 7 spots. It's interesting. Michael Conforto hit like 1,500, OPS like 1,500 in AAA last year.
Oh, we did take Syndergaard. We took Syndergaard in the 7th round. Whoops.
They're talking about sending Conforto back down. If the Mets send Conforto back down to AAA, which I think they won't now because Juan Lagares just got hurt, but if they do, Scott Boras will actually burn down Citi Field.
Well, Jake Larson has 3 Mets. He has DeGrom, he has Familia, who's not even playing to start the season, and he has Matt Harvey, who knows what he's doing.
Right, so, yeah, and he also has like 8 Cubs, Jake Larson. Anyone who ever played for the Cubs is on Larson.
Well, I took a lot of Cubs and Red Sox, just especially at pitchers, just because, you know, you're getting wins and saves there.
Are you more likely or less likely to draft a guy who's on your favorite team?
Traditionally, I'm much less likely. I really try and avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
In, like, you know, if I'm in a
mixing business with pleasure.
Yeah, if I'm in a fantasy football league, for example, like, I've never had Adrian Peterson.
By the way, which one's business? Which one's pleasure? To you? Because in my mind, business is the Jets, and pleasure is fantasy football. Even though you make money from fantasy football, and
yeah, because it's mostly pain being a fan. Yeah,
it's right. Business is to me is
yeah. Yeah, so I see what you're saying. But in this league, for whatever reason, I've ended up with we got Miguel Sano in round 23, which is probably a little bit too early. But I think
by the way, the best pick in the draft, Joel Embiid, round 26. If he plays 60 games next year, he's like a third round pick.
And then we got Brandon Kinsler, the Twins closer, who I did not want to take, but my co-owner insisted we take him because he said we needed saves. And then we got Sam Bradford, who I did want to take.
Can you make a trade on the podcast? I know you can't really trade during the draft, but I do have 5 or 6 closers if you want one.
Well, I mean, we have 3 very good closers before Kinsler. We have 3 guys who are projected to get 40 saves.
There's got
to
be
our fourth.
Then there has to be like 2 teams that have no closers.
Yeah, we have Wade. Well, there's one team who literally has not drafted a closer yet.
Who has no relief pitchers?
Least, the same guy with all the basketball guys, does not have a single relief pitcher.
Now, I should add, this is a daily, like an insane daily pickup league. So if you're like first to the waiver wire for closers, and you and I spent a lot of time trying to like come up with rules. But like every rule is like foolproof, and you lawyered them out. So, like if you just like sit on the waiver wire all day, and there's like Twitter accounts that like tell you when closers get hurt, like you could just pick them up when like, whoever gets hurt, you know, Alex.
Yeah, he has 8 starting pitchers, at least, but only no relievers yet. So yeah, he might have to make a trade or be very active on waivers.
All right, yeah, but anyway, it was fun. Would you do this again?
We're not even done. We're only in round 46.
We literally didn't start, I would argue. But yeah. Other than we're midway through the draft. But
yeah, the draft is fun, but the real crazy excitement comes with the trades. And I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll see.
I mean, I think most of the people are nuts. Like, people will definitely...
The biggest challenge is this isn't a league with 10 people who are all close and friends with each other. No, nobody really knows each other.
I've never met Larson, never met Ruben. Obviously, I know Morty. I've never met Levin, although I know him from the pools. Don't know Gogo Patrick at all. You and Cantor, I know. Rosenberg and Hagler, I know. But the other two teams, I don't know. So I've never met, like, 7 of the 10 teams in the league. I'll respond and talk to anybody about trades, but I do think you're right. I think people are hesitant to... It definitely lessens the trash talk, but that doesn't bother me. I'm not so super into the trash talk. But
yeah, I've tried to get the trash talk going a little bit. And although you've done it on this podcast, I don't know if we're going to share this with our league.
Yeah, we'll tell him. I know I haven't trashed. Like I'm just, I don't think you know I haven't trashed anybody other than like one or two picks that weren't great. I've been in leagues where nobody knows each other and there are no trades, even though like every owner's very active. I think you have to like break down. You know, like, if you're willing to trade, you'll just offer 10 trades a day, and I think everyone will respond. The problem is when you have someone who doesn't respond to trades. If you have more than one of those people, it becomes very hard to trade, because, like, they're guys you really want.
The problem, I think, is when you have these, like, there's three guys who all know each other and nobody else. And the problem is if they only trade amongst each other.
Well, I think that happens in leagues. I think that, and it's not a big deal as long as the trades are fair, which I'm sure they will be.
I think that's bad for the league.
Yeah, it is bad, but I also think... This is a very serious league with, like...
It's better that people don't trade at all.
Yeah, I think this is, the people in this league, like, everyone's drafted at least 48 picks already. Like, the people in this league are so insane that they're going to... one problem is, like, you've never played fantasy baseball. A bunch of people here have never played fantasy baseball. Like, I'm a lunatic who plays all three. But I do think that, you know, I'm not sure people, like, totally get the values of all three sports. But...
Well, how to value guys across sport is where it gets interesting, and I think that's where the interesting trades will come.
Right, like, how about this? So you have, like, there's a quarterback left, and this is a 2-QB league, so, like, QBs are very valuable, especially when you get the bye weeks, right, where some weeks there's only 26 QBs going. Like, if you have a Josh McCown, he's useless in week one, but in week six, someone might need him to be a starter for, like, a week or two in a row.
There can be a situation where somebody will trade, like, Ryan Tannehill for, like, a Noah Syndergaard. Because they'll be in a desperate situation.
Right. So, like, if you... I don't think anyone really has done this, but if you hoard quarterbacks, then you might be able to get a lot of value out of them, which is something I know, but I also haven't committed to actually doing. And, like, the quarterbacks left are so bad that...
I mean, that's more true in a 12-person two-quarterback league, which is really my ideal fantasy.
Right, I play in a league based off your league that basically has the same rules. And that's... Although, in my league, you're allowed to play the second QB is a flex, so... In theory, like, for that 1 week, you could just play a third running back. In your league, also, you have one extra spot.
And by the way, we had tons of people want to join this league. You cut it off at 10. You said 580 picks was enough.
It off at 10 only because I knew the draft would be too long.
And I mean, yeah, we would have had 696 picks instead of 580.
There's very few things I'm good at, but I have, like, a pretty good idea of how these things go. And I just knew... we all got together... We got together online in a chat room on Saturday night, and we did the draft... And I knew we wouldn't finish, but I thought maybe we could do 40 rounds. And it went really quickly. There was really no hang-ups, and we only did 29 rounds out of 58, literally exactly half the draft, 290 picks. So, you know, if I did this again, I would say we'd have to commit to two nights. But, yeah.
I think if people wanted to, like, make a copycat league, the ideal scenario would be where you all get together in person over a weekend.
Yeah,
if we were all 25, we all go to Vegas, and then you draft, you know... Over all day Saturday for like 10 hours or whatever.
25. Like if I lived in New York, we could have done this, or we could have gone to Vegas or something. I don't know if your wife would have.
Well, I mean, how many people live in New York in this draft? It's me.
Well, I would have. We might have had to find different people or told people to fly in.
Yeah, I think there's only two.
We could have very easily put together a league of only New Yorkers. Is what I'm saying.
Yes, we could have. Yes.
We could have put together. Like we could have done five of these leagues if I had time. I mean, can you imagine doing two of these drafts at once? That would be insane. Like I did think about it for a second because we got so many people. We had like 31 people asked to be in the league like the first day, and
my goal for this league is that this league becomes so successful. If it does, I will quit all my other leagues. I will quit the AYFFL, the league that I've been a commissioner for 15 years.
No, I don't think. I think you could do two. I could think you do one fantasy football league in this. I think it's reasonable. You don't do any other baseball or basketball.
Yeah, but I'm saying the goal is for this to become like, you know, but we'll see how it goes.
I mean, I'm going to take it seriously. I do think another problem is like right now everyone should be taking it seriously. Oh, and right now it's essentially just a fantasy baseball league after the draft for the next 6 months.
Yeah, how do you get people to take it seriously for 2 years?
Right, the problem is like someone will, you'll be able to tell at some point during the NBA season there will be someone who is like bottom three in all three leagues and is like, all right, you know, unless they win, unless they somehow turn around and win, you know, all three leagues next year, like, they're not going to finish in the money. And then it's like, how do you get them to be motivated to, you know, still be...
I mean, it's personal pride. But again, but we don't all know. It's easier when you know each other, when you're friends, you know, when you can, you know...
Right, and, like, it's money. People paid a bunch of money, but like, it's a sunk cost. I don't know if that's going
to
really
motivate. If I were to put the over... Well, first of all, if I were to ask you... At the end of this 2 years,
I also would have made it more money. I would have made this more money
at the end of the 2 years of this league. If you had to guess right now, will this league then continue starting in 2019?
Yeah, for sure. Just maybe. Okay.
So then, my next question is: if I say the over/under is 6.5 of the 10 people in this league, how many will be in the next version of this league in 2019?
Probably under. I'm sure you'll scare half them away by like April.
With my insanity,
I mean, you're gonna be the heel. I'm sure you already are, but like, you're the heel of the league, and I just want.
Well, that's what I've been trying to do. I mean, I've been.
I think also our dynamic
in the draft, I've been trying to rile people up.
Yeah, our dynamic with the pools is like, I'm the good cop and you're the bad cop. Like, I want everyone to be happy and.
Well, I want people to be happy also, but I want people to be engaged. I don't like wallflowers. Got to get in the game.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, we talked to Moro, for example, who joined my fantasy football league last year, and. Just depending on your perspective about the purpose of a fantasy football league, he's either the worst person to have joined your league, or I wouldn't say the best, but very, very good.
Why?
And even though I find
him talk a lot of trash,
he's completely obnoxious and arrogant. Come on, but that made it good. That made it entertaining. Honestly, I made a bet with him, which it was an absurd bet for him to make. Although, you know, he ended up winning it, but it's about process, not results. And but the stakes of our bet was that the loser would have to take the SATs in May of 2017, and I lost that bet. So I will be taking the SATs.
Oh, you have to go to a high school?
I have to go to a – first of all, I'm taking the test on a Sunday. I have to get a letter from my rabbi.
No way.
I have
to submit the letter. Get a letter because you have to take it on Sunday, which we all did, everyone in our
– Then I have to go sit there with a bunch of 16-year-olds for 8 hours, take the SATs.
Did you
tell? And then I have to publicize the results.
Oh, my God. What do you think you're going to do? Are you counting the other 800? I used to be an SAT tutor, but I mean,
I will definitely do worse than I did in high school, because I'm not going to study for this thing. I mean, you know.
I don't know how much has changed in the last, like, decade.
Well, it's 800 math, 800 verbal. Yeah, I don't know what the other section, the writing section is or something.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to guess what I'm going to get out of 2,400?
Yeah.
I don't know. 2,000 maybe? I don't know.
I don't even know if that's a good score, honestly, so... We're the 1600 generation, so like that might be great, that might be bad. And this is such a stupid bet. Why you took it on is insane. Like, the only way I would take on have to take a test. Did you get the letter from your rabbi already?
No, because – so this is why the SATs are annoying. You cannot register for the SAT online if you're not taking it on a Saturday. You have to
– We don't take tests on Saturday, so they have a special test for on Sunday.
But they don't let you apply online. You have to submit a written application, which you can only pick up from your high school admissions guidance counselor. Which I don't have.
By the way, Jared Jerome said someone told him that it's weird that we explain the non-orthodox things. And, like, I don't know how many people listen.
95% of our listeners
are not orthodox. Like, he assumed that, like, it's just, like, our four friends listening. Like,
none of our. So the funny thing about the listenership of this podcast is none of our friends listened for the first year and a half.
None of our friends still listen now. I mean, you don't have any friends, so I don't know who would listen.
But. Yeah. But I in the last, like, 4 or 5 months, I've heard from a lot of friends who listen.
A lot more people we know have started to listen now.
Yeah, the first year and a half, it was ironic. It started with people we don't know, and then it went to people we know, which is the reverse of what you would think.
Sure. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So I had to find a friend who works at a high school. He picked up a copy of the application form for me. And then, I told my rabbi why I'm doing it. He rolled his eyes and left. Whatever.
So the way it works for people who don't know is when
you want to take an SAT or any standardized test, not on a Saturday, what you have to do is submit a letter from your clergy member, whether it's a rabbi or whatever other, you know, faith you're a member of that precludes you from taking it on Saturday.
Clergy member if you're a Scientologist.
Yeah. Yeah, which explains why you cannot that for religious reasons you cannot take this test on a Saturday. Although the letter will not explain why a 33-year-old man is taking the SATs, but that's another.
Oh my God! This is amazing. He'll never see it, but you just send it to Matthew Berry. Like, he would definitely appreciate the.
Yeah.
Like, between taking the SAT test and sending a letter, if you take a picture, like a selfie of yourself, saying, you know, lost my fantasy football league.
Now I'm sure you're not allowed to take selfies at the while taking the test.
What's gonna happen? They're gonna like, you're not gonna get into college.
Yeah, what happens if I cheat? If I get caught?
They're not gonna let you in. They're gonna think you're a pedophile. I mean, correctly, they'll probably just check and see. But it's gonna be insane. I didn't want to go. I didn't even. I was gonna take the SAT a second time, and it was during a Jets Colts game, or like you know, because again, we took him on Sunday. It would have been, we would have like been late for the tailgate, so I didn't do it. Like, you're taking like that, and then I had to take it. You know, like, you want to get into college, you're taking it. Oh, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, so what was the other side of the bet? Like, that he had to take the SATs.
Yeah, the loser would have to take the SATs.
Because I would only do it if like if I lose, I take the SATs, but if you lose, I get like, you know, $100,000 in a boat. Like, there's like, that's not nearly worth it enough to me. Like,
just to be clear, at the time like, I made this bet, I thought my chance of losing was like 10%. Like, it was a dumb bet for him to take. I thought, and I still think.
I don't know. Just listen. I got into a Twitter argument 2 years ago with a Twitter egg
about Trump.
Trump, and I said, do you want to bet $100,000 that Trump won't be president? And she said, I don't know how to bet. I don't know who you are. And she was an egg. But I 100% would have done it. I even like argued with my wife, like if I could do it or not. And she said no. And I'm like, you realize his odds are like, 1% according to Nate Silver. And she's like, who's Nate Silver? I don't follow the news.
Yeah. I know. I love when people say that.
Anyway, let's quickly.
It always annoys me. What? It's not that people haven't heard of somebody. It's that they act as if I'm the weird one for knowing who that person is.
People say like, I'm very obnoxious.
Like when I mention Louis C.K. and you don't know who Louis C.K. is, yes, I'm not saying you don't know who Louis C.K. is. I want you to acknowledge that Louis C.K. is a very famous comedian and that I'm not weird for knowing that.
You know why? Because we are nerds who live on the internet all day, and I feel like most people don't know who Louis C.K. is, and most people like don't know who Nate Silver is, and like they're the normal ones, and we're like the elitist. Yeah.
Well, like you brought up Trump, like, you know. If you were a person on Twitter, it was impossible not to know about, like, you know, the insane levels of anti-Semitism directed, like, particularly a journalist, but anybody who was identifiably Jewish on Twitter and said anything mildly critical of Trump. If you were in the real world, that wasn't a thing that exists. Now, after the election, you know, it started with, like, a lot of, like, the desecration of Jewish cemeteries and stuff, which may or may not have any connection with him, we don't know. But, it was entirely a Twitter phenomenon, and it was entirely if it mattered to you, it was simply a function of whether you're on the internet or not. So journalists are all on Twitter, so for them it was a big deal, but for the average person, it was like not even a story that they were aware of. Yeah. So if you don't live on the internet, you're living in a completely different world than people who are.
Yeah, and maybe they're probably right, and we're wrong, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they are. Yeah.
No. Okay. Let's keep going.
All right. Okay, so yeah, so we're 37 minutes in. It's time to turn to the Sweet 16.
Let's do this quickly. We set it up. We sent out a poll to everyone. We're going to count the poll as canon, right? The listeners, do they have one vote or do they have?
They will be canon unless the two of us unanimously disagree with them. So in other words, they're one out of three votes.
They're one out of three votes. All right, so quickly, let's do them.
And I do disagree with them on a few of these pretty passionately.
Okay. Number one.
First one we have Tom Brady against Ted Williams. Do you want to guess how the listeners went?
The listeners definitely went with the more recent people on every single one. Tom Brady.
Yeah, so Tom Brady won 57-43.
Okay.
This is why this annoys me. We're not judging best career. We're judging best athlete. It's not who was the most successful. It's who was the greatest. And there's a difference between being successful and being great.
Right. So you have Ted Williams?
Yeah, and to me, it's not even close. Like,
yeah, I have Ted Williams. I have Ted Williams.
Okay, good. All right, fine. So I don't even need to give my argument. But, like, you know, my wife... I remember like when there was discussions of healthcare and they were talking about how like you outcome, it's outcome dependent. And so basically on how well patients' outcomes are is how doctors are rewarded. And my wife said that's really stupid because the best doctors get the hardest cases. So if you're a doctor and 80% of your patients die, it doesn't mean you're a worse doctor than somebody who's 0% of
your
patients die.
Your wife is the best doctor, right? That's what you told me.
So all our patients die, yeah.
But do all our patients die? One time, this isn't so funny, but for us it's funny. We were doing a podcast and we were like making fun of Jen, and she was very upset because she had a patient die, and we were not being sensitive to her grieving or whatever doctors do when their patients die. Yeah. Anyway, we're bad people. I never had a pet growing up, and my oldest friend's dad was a veterinarian, and like one time he had to like tell someone over the phone, and I was right there, that their pet died, and he was like so somber. And because I didn't know anything about pets, I thought it was literally insane. Because, like, to me, like,
the pet people are going to get after you for that.
No, I just didn't know when I was a little kid. Now I totally get it. But I thought, no, the pet people, like, I've been anti-dog for a while. So the pet people don't even listen anymore. But I didn't understand it. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. I thought just, like, animals were, like, because we had, like, cats run around. Because we always had a neighbor who fed cats. I always thought of, like, dogs and cats as nuisances. And I didn't realize, like, you know, dog is a man's best friend. Like, I just didn't know. Like, in our circles, nobody had dogs when we were kids, right?
I mean, no, I don't agree with that. But
people didn't. Coming from Europe, they viewed dogs as
a stereotype.
Like,
yeah,
yes. Our grandparents thought dogs were repulsive. And then our
parents... the Germans use dogs to hunt out the Jews that they kill.
Yeah, and then...
There's like a bad old Yiddish joke about like two Jews who are like so assimilated, and so they meet each other
on the bench. The Ted Williams versus Tom Brady debate. We're talking about like the Holocaust. Yeah. All right, keep going.
So, wait, hold on. So the two Jews are arguing. They're trying to like one-up each other. Who's more assimilated? And so the one says, you know, like, you know, he goes to church every Sunday. And the other says, you know, he's a member of the country club or whatever. And then the punchline of the joke, I'm just going to cut to the end, is the one whispers to the other, but I'm still afraid of dogs. So, yeah, like traditionally European Jews were afraid of dogs because they were used to hunt them.
Right, and then like most of our parents weren't interested, but now...
I mean, I grew up with dogs.
In the suburbs.
Jen had a dog. A bunch of my cousins have dogs. I don't know about that.
In the suburbs.
My dad had a dog growing up. You know,
it's definitely gone up. I mean, your takes on anything. I think because you grew up in Minnesota, your takes are always like a little off on these like modern Orthodox Judaism things. But like, because again, the only place that matters is New York and New Jersey.
All right. Anyway, so the voters were 57-43. It was pretty close, but we're going with the 43. So yeah. Ted Williams advances. Tom Brady, goodbye. Okay. And I voted against Tom Brady every round, for the record.
Okay.
All right. The next one is even more offensive. It's Willie Mays, generally considered the greatest baseball player who ever lived, against Michael Phelps, the greatest swimmer who ever lived. But it's baseball versus swimming. This is an insanity. Michael Phelps, as you said, you know, the more recent person is dominating this. Michael Phelps won 77-23.
Oh my God. Well, I got bad news for you. Michael Phelps, you're on to the quarterfinals. Sorry,
I don't have a problem with Michael Phelps being out of the quarterfinals, but beating the greatest baseball player of all time is ridiculous.
Well, he didn't beat the greatest baseball player. That guy's coming in a couple rounds.
All right. Okay. I'm talking about all around, you know, defensively, offensively, et cetera. All right.
Well, do you count pitching as defense? Because I know a guy who's pretty good at pitching.
Yeah, all right. We'll get to him. All right. Next, we have Jim Thorpe against Barry Bonds.
I mean, this is impossible. Here,
here the voters flipped the script. And this is the first time I agree with the voters. Here the voters went with Thorpe 57-43.
Yeah, it has to be Thorpe. And to me, Bonds could beat almost anybody. Like, you could argue Bonds over Ted Williams, although maybe you give Williams, like, extracurricular stuff.
Here's my criticism of Bonds. People say that he was such
a... chess as a sport, but flying a plane isn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you count, like, plane flying, then Ted Williams probably is, like...
This is what I want to know about Bonds. And it's true about him. It's true about Ricky Henderson. It's true about Ishiro, a few of these guys. If he was such a great defender, why did he never play center field?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, was he just not... was he not, you know...
Like, not fast enough? No, he was a 40-40 guy.
He was fast enough. Like, did they just have, like, a better guy in their system who was the center
fielder? Andy Van Slyke was a good center fielder, I guess.
Yeah, like, was it Van Slyke related?
I don't know. When he came to San Francisco,
a lot of things are. I was a big Andy Van Slyke guy when I was when in the early '90s. Like, the Mets were really irrelevant a couple of those years. So like the Pirates were my like. Did you ever have your team stunk when you were a kid? So you sort of had your favorite team, but then you had this.
Yeah, like I had the Knicks because I was a Timberwolves fan in like '88, '89, '90. That didn't work out.
So I was like, there's a lot of pictures of me in 49er stuff from like the late '90s or late '80s, early '90s. I hated the Cowboys and hated the Steelers, and I loved the and obviously hated the Redskins. And I love
that you chose the Spurs. By the way, I looked at your roster in League of Leagues. Go back to that for a second. You don't have any of your favorite players in any of the three sports. Is that by design or just?
Well, I think I'm going to pick a Met at some point soon. But it's not by design. The Spurs really only have like one super exciting guy, and I didn't take him, Kawhi. I don't love having the Mets pitchers, to be honest. Like, in a vacuum, I wouldn't take them because then it's like double stress when they're starting. I also don't like watching my pitchers start. Like, like, fantasy baseball, to me, it's like, I have had, like, Francisco Lindor and Jason Kipnis. Like, I barely know what they look like. Until they make the playoffs, I don't know what these guys look like because I don't watch any non-Met games during the regular season. And to me, it's like, I'm like Billy Beane. You know, I'm like, except he, like, does exercise during the games. I'm just eating. But, I don't want to see the guys play. To me, they're just stats on paper. If you could automate a whole season, that would be preferable to me. I do fantasy baseball, I play a whole season every day.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, the fourth and last Sweet 16 matchup on the left half of our bracket. This one is a rout. Obviously, it's Babe Ruth against Michael Johnson, and Babe Ruth has 89% of the vote.
Yeah, I mean, who voted for Michael Johnson? That's stupid.
Yeah, well, a few people did.
I mean, if you wanted to take it literally and say, like, who would win a race? Who's a better athlete?
Yeah, I think they said, I think that's how they advance
on.
Yeah,
Babe Ruth goes on.
But there's always going to be some trolls, obviously. All right, so now we go to the other half of the bracket. Jerry Rice, most say the greatest football player ever, against Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali wins 69-31.
Yeah, no surprise there. Ali should win that one.
Yeah, of course.
Even if you think Ali's overrated, he's still, like, the third best boxer ever at worst.
Yeah, I mean, Ali went to our final four. Well, would the third greatest boxer ever advance over the greatest football player ever? I would say no.
I don't think Jerry Rice is the best football player ever necessarily.
Yeah. All right. All right. Now we have Peyton Manning against Wilt Chamberlain. This one is like the opposite to me of the Brady versus Ted Williams thing, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, Wilt Chamberlain is basically Ted Williams. I mean, he was dominant. He played a long time ago. So do you want to guess how the vote went on this one, Peyton against Wilt Chamberlain?
Yeah. Well, you said it's the opposite. So if Williams won the – I don't remember who won. I know that we
– Brady won.
Brady won the last one. We voted for Williams. Yeah, so you're saying Wilt won. I mean, Wilt has more a little bit more cachet to like –
Yeah, so Wilt's winning this one 60-40. So here's the thing. Was Wilt more dominant?
Yeah,
which is, I guess, the argument. And I would actually say no. So first of all, keep in mind that Wilt played in an era where he played against 10 teams made of a bunch of short white guys, whereas Peyton played in the modern era.
Right.
Even with the much less competition.
Like, do you view him as a freak show? Do you know what I mean? It's like, was he like before his time? And if he was there now, he'd just be like Dwight Howard. Who cares?
Well, first of all, yeah, if he was there now, but I'm not even saying, I'm saying even in his time, he wasn't more dominant than Peyton Manning. Yeah, he averaged 50-25. Peyton Manning threw for 55 touchdowns and five. Like, Peyton Manning shattered every record also.
Yeah.
Against a much more tough competition.
I mean, how many years was Wilt the best guy in the NBA, and how many years was Peyton the best player in football?
Okay, yeah. So Peyton's career was also longer than Wilt's, especially relative to the sport.
How many Chester MVPs that they each have?
Okay, so, well, let's talk about actual MVPs. Wilt has four. Mm-hmm. Okay. Actual MVPs, which is good, right?
Yeah.
But Peyton Manning has five.
Yeah, okay? And five NFL MVPs is like 12 NBA.
It's insane. Yeah, that'll never happen. Yeah. In Chester MVPs, I would have given Wilt eight.
Okay. Right, you said that the other day when you said Kareem had 11.
Yeah, but here's the thing. All NBA, Wilt was seven times first team, three times second team. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same as Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, seven-time first team All-Pro. Three times second team. And again, Peyton Manning was competing against 32 quarterbacks. Wilt was competing against 10 centers.
Yeah, I agree.
So to me,
I have Peyton Manning. Who do you have?
Yeah, so I have Peyton Manning advancing over Wilt Chamberlain here. Okay, so we both agree that, and it was 60-40. The voters were close, but
you could definitely make a good case for Wilt.
Oh, you could make a case, yeah, and you could make a case for Brady also, but all right, okay, so we have Peyton Manning advancing. Now we have a couple of blowouts to end our Sweet 16. We have Deion Sanders against LeBron James. LeBron was 77%.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Deion could win the whole thing, and I'd be like, all right, that's normal, that's fair. But I agree. I think you have to put LeBron James. He's just too good.
And then the biggest blowout in the Sweet 16.
By the way, we were talking about how good Deion was at baseball in the last podcast. Do you know he went 8-17 in the World Series that year? He was good in 1992.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Jordan against Carl Lewis. We had one troll who voted for Carl Lewis. So Michael Jordan with 98% of the vote.
Yeah. No question, Michael Jordan. Now, it doesn't have to be the theme of another podcast, but this is going long. Should we save the final three rounds for, like, should we put it to a vote and sort of just extend March Madness to April Madness?
The way that the tournament does, right? The final four is always in April.
I think do you want to do the quarters, and if we argue on anything, then we send it to the fans, or should we just send it to the fans first?
Should we do the Elite Eight right now, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So let's do the Elite Eight right now. So we have Ted Williams.
The fans will make it, and I'll make these Twitter polls because there'll be max four.
All right. So we have Ted Williams against Michael Phelps.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm gonna go with. To me, it's like, is Ted Williams the best hitter ever? And obviously, a lot of people say Ted Williams best hitter ever. But because there's a debate, I just don't know. I'm going with Michael Phelps here.
But again, is swimming equal in importance to baseball? Right. Is the third best hitter not better than the best swimmer?
Is the third best? Yeah, I don't. I mean, again, let's let the fans decide.
Nobody would say that Ted Williams is not one of the best three hitters of all time, right? It's him, Babe Ruth, and Barry Bonds in some order.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, Ted Williams is not the all-around player that Willie Mays was. Ted Williams was not a great defender. I mean, he spent most of his time in right field, you know, practicing his swing for the next time he'd be up. Yeah, I don't think Phelps should have beaten Willie Mays, but all right, so we'll leave it to the listeners. If they chose Phelps over Mays, they're for sure going to choose Phelps over Ted Williams.
Yeah,
our listeners also hate America, so they don't care about his patriotism.
Well, we have a lot of non-American listeners.
Yeah. Oh, so they're allowed to hate America?
Well, I mean,
this podcast wouldn't exist if not for America.
A lot of things wouldn't exist not for America. Yeah. What else would America invent? The internet?
All right, so we have Ted Williams against Michael Phelps in the Elite Eight. We don't know who's going to the Final Four yet. The next one, we have... just a doozy, the two greatest athletes for sure of the first half of the 20th century, Babe Ruth against Jim Thorpe.
Yeah, this is tough. To me, I was going to make a strong argument for Thorpe in the finals to me, I'm going Babe Ruth here. But if you say, again, in 1950 or in the early 50s when they said who's the best athlete of the first 50 years, the answer was Thorpe Jim won. Thorpe. Now, yeah, maybe
they literally gave it to him. Yeah.
They literally gave it to Thorpe. They asked the people who knew much better than us, who saw them both play, possibly. Well, they're probably not. You literally had to go to the game or the
yeah,
see them play. But they read about them in the paper from Grantland Rice. And I think the idea that, like, track and field was much bigger than Thorpe was... Dwight Eisenhower called Thorpe, like, the best football player he ever saw, which, again, was probably only a few football players. Unless he was
okay, but he won gold medals in the pentathlon and the decathlon. Yeah. He played in the NFL. Yeah. He played professional baseball. He played basketball.
Yeah, but to me, it's like Ruth was maybe the best, like the best hitter ever. And again, like almost think of pitching as a different sport. You would think that pitching and hitting.
By the way, they faced each other because Babe Ruth, Jim Thorpe played on the New York Giants baseball team for 6 years.
I mean, Ruth probably like refused to pitch them because he was Indian, but still.
But there are rumors about Ruth being of African American descent.
Yeah, that people do say that. That's true.
Yeah.
Which
is why he dominated the sport because he was a bunch of white guys.
I think a friend of ours has a relative or like an in-law who once told me a story that like Ruth snubbed him because he was Jewish or something like that, like someone's grandfather. But you know, that's probably never.
Babe Ruth loved everybody.
Oh yeah, well, he loved eating. I don't know.
So the Associated Press named him, as you said, the greatest athlete of the first half of the 20th century. You know, he's in the Football Hall of Fame, so you can't say, you know, it's not like a Bo Jackson situation, right? I don't know. This is a tough one. Babe Ruth was just so dominant, and you know, his dominance in baseball is unparalleled by anything except, I guess, maybe Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I'm going with Babe Ruth, but I'm the biggest Thorpe guy there is.
So I'm going to say Thorpe so that we can put that one up to the voters or the listeners as well. So, yeah. So we haven't decided any of these yet. All right. Now we have Muhammad Ali against Peyton Manning. I'll say Ali. I'm going to give him his second Final Four.
Muhammad Ali.
He was in the Final Four of our greatest living Americans.
I mean,
this is tough because
I'm going Peyton Manning. I think Ali at this point now becomes overrated because, again, I think the Ring magazine had him as the number three boxer. They had Henry Armstrong, who beat Bo Jackson, one of the more controversial decisions of round
one.
And
then who Ali beat.
The number two boxer. Yeah. And I think Sugar Ray Robinson, who I think, was he in the bracket, Sugar Ray?
Yeah. But most people have Ali as the greatest, the heavyweight of all time.
Yeah. But
and
not
also,
the
again,
boxer.
He took off 5 years in the prime of his career, just like Ted Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, but listen, I don't, if you're going fishing, we're protesting.
All right. So, we haven't gotten one yet. And let's see if we can agree on this one in the Final Four. It's okay. LeBron James against Michael Jordan.
Oh, so it's what a great matchup, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. We heard last week our guest Jared Jerome. He thinks LeBron is already better than Jordan. He thinks LeBron is already the greatest basketball player of all time. I think he has a chance to get there, but right now it's got to be Jordan. Even though Jordan sucked at baseball, and we think LeBron would have been better like at another
football.
Sport.
Yeah, his 10 football careers would
be better than Jordan's, yeah. But we got to go Jordan here.
I mean, like the worst, today is like the worst day of LeBron's career. Also, it's like a bad time to ask about. Like if he had gone for like 46, 12, and 12 against the Spurs last night.
Cavs are struggling, yeah.
I mean, they had I didn't even realize. Like they were, you know, they had Love.
They're going to drop out of the one seed, yeah.
Not just the one seed. Like they had their full roster. I'm like, okay, maybe Love didn't play. You know, I didn't see the game last night. And then I was checking the box score and like everyone played.
Yeah. All right, so Jordan's in the Final Four. Or are you going to say LeBron?
No. Let's send this to the listeners. Let's send it to the listeners. I'm going to say LeBron.
All right. I know that's not what you think, but all right. So we have decided anything.
To me, it's like who would win who for one game in their absolute apex. Yeah, I'd probably say Michael Jordan. But like their whole career, I think, I don't know. I mean, their careers are so similar, right? Like it took them a little bit too long to like suspiciously long to like start making the finals. But once they did, they literally never missed
the
finals.
They never did.
Except this year when some of the people think the East is a lot better this year than in years past. Obviously, it's much worse than the West, but like the West does not go 8 deep. There are years the West goes 11 deep and like you know, the Thunder.
Yeah, there's a big drop off after number 7 in the West.
Yeah, whoever plays the eighth team that's going to get absolutely sacrificed to the Warriors. Like those games are going to be like 140 to like 98. Portland stinks. None of those teams should want to make the playoffs. Normally, I disagree, and I think anytime you make the playoffs, that's good for like especially the young core players. And your Timberwolves are so bad. I don't know how this happened, They have so many good players.
Just the last week and a half.
I mean, no, and the 5 months before it, their record stayed.
No. Okay, they started the season 8-24. They were terrible. Then they were above 500 for 3 months.
If Carl Anthony Towns is good, this team should be in the eighth seed. I don't understand what's wrong with him.
Well, okay, they were, by advanced stats, I think they've been the 7th or 8th best team in the league on the whole year, actually, until the last 2 weeks.
Well, then how are they, like, 28-50? They can't be the 7th.
Well, first of all, because they have the worst record in the league in games decided by 3 points or less. Part of that is luck. Part of that, well, they started 0-11 on the season in games decided by 3 points or less. Part of that's luck. Part of that is, because that was also a problem with, like, the Kevin Love Rubio teams. I think that part of that is luck, but I think part of it is, because Rubio's such a bad shooter, and teams can completely slag off him in the last 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing 4-on-5 at the end of game situations.
I think totally isn't. Do you think they should trade Rubio in the offseason? I think he still has some value. I wouldn't want my team to trade
him. At the trade deadline, they couldn't even get Reggie Jackson. They were talking about getting Derrick Rose, so he has no trade value for some reason. It's weird because he's such an extreme player.
Every team has like computer guys now.
There's too many good point guards.
There are a lot of good points.
Well, there's too many good point guards. And also Rubio is like...
Point guards, he averages out for his team, and I wouldn't want Rubio over Parker or Mills at this point.
Well, I mean, you're wrong about that. But first of all, Rubio's been very good for the last couple months.
If you think Rubio...
Oh, for sure he is. Of course he is.
You're crazy.
Of course he is. It's not even close.
Again, in a league that's literally predicated around shooting threes, Rubio cannot shoot, and Patty Mills is a very good three-point shooter.
Rubio's not a terrible three-point shooter, actually. But, I mean, his spot up, what is he at, like 33% this year, something like that? 34?
Yeah, but that's what he shoots from twos also.
Yeah, the thing about Rubio is he's so elite as a passer and defensively, and he's so terrible at shooting. So he's like he's in these extremes, and when it averages out to an average point guard, but it's sort of an unusual way to get there. So, all right, that's enough. This podcast has been me. So we spent about 40 minutes discussing a weirdo fantasy league with 10 people in it. Then we spent 10 minutes discussing the actual topic of the podcast, and now we're talking about Ricky Rubio versus Patty Mills for some reason.
All right, listen, this is a sporting podcast. This is good.
Yeah, all in a day's work.
If you want to be in the next, if you heard and you're jealous, you want to be in the next League of Leagues, hit me up and I'll put you on the wait list.
Yeah.
Now, would it be insane? Let me ask you a question. Chester.
Yes.
Would it be insane if I started a second League of Leagues in 2018? So I had like alternating years. So there was a draft every year. Because at the end of the day, the draft is the most fun part of any fantasy league.
I'm not even making a joke. I literally think what you just said, like that part of the podcast will be cut and will be played in court in your divorce proceedings.
I mean, I didn't tell my wife about the League of Leagues, and then she ran into Morty on the street, and Morty's like, yeah, I was like, I felt, and this is, not only did Morty tell her about the League of Leagues, which is a disaster.
What a snitch.
He also said, yeah, but I knew I was going to be drafting all night, or we draft in the morning because we're 7 hours ahead. He's like, I was going to be up all night, so I took my wife out for a night.
He threw her twice.
So, like, I took her out all night. I'm like, and first of all, my wife does not want to go out with me. Let's be fair. But the idea that, like, oh, he, like, was thoughtful about it and sort of, like, prepared, whereas I'm, like, sneaking away in my, like, office at, like, 4 a.m. doing this draft.
Yeah. And then your wife has to get up with the kids. So
And then she got up with the kids because I fell asleep after the draft at 7 a.m., and like woke up at 11:30, and she had run out 4 times. She has a baby, like 4 kids. Forgot to pack them lunch. Running back and forth to school.
Didn't you just have a baby like 6 weeks ago?
Yeah. So, Morty wins the MVP for snitching on me there. But
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. This was fun. We don't know what we're doing next week. The hot takeoff is going to be in 2 or 3 weeks, I think. People have been asking me when's
that. Well, we got to wrap this up. We might do it in person. We might have a couple of guests. We'll see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the hot takeoff in person? Well, we're not going to do that in person. So maybe we'll wait till you go back to New York for the hot takeoff. Yeah, we will have one live podcast in the next few weeks. All right. Have a good one. Why can't you see I'm standing at the door? Why can't you see I'm standing at the door? Open your home.